Woke up this morning and this message was kind of burning on my heart. And so I thought if I'd got a chance to preach tonight here at the highway, I'd just lay it on you real fast, all right? Psalm 51, verse number 15. The psalmist David wrote, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word tonight. I pray that you anoint us for the next few minutes to preach your word. Challenge our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to preach a little thought for just a little while on lockjaw. Lockjaw. Lockjaw is a form of tetanus in which the jaws become firmly closed. And tetanus is a disease caused by a bacteria usually entering the body through wounds. Kind of sounds like sin, doesn't it? A disease caused by bacteria usually entering the body through wounds. Amen. Lockjaw. Amen. Let me tell you something. David was a man of praise. He wrote this Psalm 51. He was a man that knew how to get a hold of the Lord in praise and worship. He knew how to take his harp and play upon it and offer up sweet notes of praise unto the Lord. And he was a man that knew how to get a hold of God in praise. I can see him on the back 40 of his dad's property as he's there, and he's watching over those flocks, and he's taking care of the sheep. There wasn't nobody else he could talk to. He could talk to the sheep, but they couldn't talk back unless they're pretty intelligent sheep. They wouldn't be able to talk back to him. And so he had nobody to talk to, nobody to communicate except with the Lord. And I can see him as he's out there, maybe sitting on a stump or sitting on a big rock, and he's worshiping the Lord and writing psalms and magnifying the Lord. It was David that was called before Saul when Saul had that vexing spirit. And it was David that was called in to play his harp and to sing to him so there would be a peace and a stillness brought to Saul's life. David was a man that knew how to worship the Lord. I want to get that across to you. You can look in his writings in Psalm chapter number 8, verse number 1. He said, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. Because of thy enemies thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars that thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and hast crowned him with glory and honor. In Psalms 9 he wrote, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O Most High. Amen. In chapter 18, he wrote this. He said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Amen. In Psalm 24, he wrote this. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein, for he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. In chapter 27, he said, the Lord is my life and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Verse number 4, he said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire into his temple. I'm just trying to say tonight that David was a man that knew how to praise the Lord. In 29 he said, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Amen. And then if you look in chapter 34, he says in that first verse, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in thee, O Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Verse number 40. I know it's a lot of verses of scripture, but I'm trying to prove to you a point tonight. chapter 40, verse 1 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He's put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see Him and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Verse number 46, just a couple more. 46, 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. 47, 1 says, oh, clap your hands, all your people, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. 48, 1 says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, and is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of our great King. Friend, let me tell you something. David knew how to praise the Lord. Amen. But there came a time in David's life whenever he wrote Psalm 51 that he wasn't able to worship the Lord then. There wasn't praise coming from his lips. He said in 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. 51, 15 says, O Lord, open thou my lips and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. There had come a time in David's life whenever something creeped in and stole his praise and stole his worship from him. Amen. Let me do a little history lesson right here. Samuel chapter number 11, we find that famous story about David's sin and how when he was supposed to be out at battle with the kings, when he should have been out fighting with his armies, amen, we find that David was at his own place. Amen. He was lounging around on his roof. Let me tell you something. Let me make a little application, if I may. Amen. Whenever you're not at the place that God expects you to be at, and when you're not where you should be, the devil will lay a trap for you every time. Amen. David was not where he was supposed to be. He was supposed to be at a battle, but we find that he was at his own home, at his palace. And there in verse 2 through 5, we find that he saw the beautiful bathing Bathsheba. And while he was there and beholding her, he lusted after her. And we find that he called her and committed adultery with her. Amen. He committed such a great sin. Amen. A few days later, we find that Bathsheba sends word to David that she is bearing his child. And so David tries to figure out a way how to cover up his sin. So he calls for Uriah the Hittite, Bathsheba's husband, to come home from the battle. Amen. He brings him to the palace. He inquires about how he's doing and how the battle's going. And then he sends him home to his wife. Amen. But we find that Uriah, being the good soldier that he was and committed to the cause, he did not go home to his wife. He just stayed there at the palace. Well, this made David kind of a little mad. So the next day, David decides to have a little party. He gets Uriah drunk. We find there. And then we see how that he thinks he'll go home then and to enjoy his wife. But he did not. He stayed there again at the palace of the king. And this made David just a little angry. So we find that David writes a letter to Joab. And he puts it in the hand of Uriah. Uriah didn't even know that he was carrying his own death sentence right there in his hand. And this is what the letter said. He said, you put Uriah in the heat of the battle, so he will fall in battle and everything will be alright. So we find that Uriah goes back, hands the letter to Joab. Joab puts him in the heat of the battle and Uriah falls in battle. And so after the mourning period is over, we find that David takes Bathsheba to be his wife and he thinks everything's just alright. Let me tell you something. Amen. You can try to hide sin. You can try to cover it up. But that which is hid, done in secret, one day is going to be shouted from the housetops. Amen. Let me tell you something. David thought he had the perfect cover up. Thought he had taken care of all the problems. But he forgot about one thing. He forgot that God has an all-seeing eye and sees everything that's done. And that God had a man whose name was Nathan. And God told Nathan what had happened. And Nathan comes to the king and comes before David and said, David, let me tell you a little story about a rich man and a poor man. Amen. This rich man had all the flocks that he wanted. But this little poor man, all he had was one little sheep that they had raised and almost treated as their very own child. Amen. They took care of it and fed it. Well, one day this traveler came. And whenever the traveler came, the rich man, instead of going to his flock to take one of his sheep, he went to this poor man's house and took the only sheep that he had. And so we find David at hearing this. He becomes enraged, said, I want to know who done that. Who done that's going to pay. He's going to die. He's going to pay fourfold. So we find there, and I believe Nathan pointed a finger in his face. It was a finger of love. It was a finger of compassion. But one of also of condemnation in David's face and said, David, thou art the man. And instantly, David realized what he had done had gotten him to a place where he was lockjawed. He was lockjawed. But let me tell you something. There's some things in our that we come in contact with. If we are not careful, they will get us to a place where we're lockjawed. Amen. The devil will wound us. He'll inject his poison in us. And before we know it, when we come into a Pentecostal meeting, we won't be able to worship the Lord. We won't be able to praise the Lord. Amen. Let me tell you about some things that have caused lockjaw in an individual's life. One thing is sin. Amen. Whenever you start dabbing around in the things of this world and you start partaking of sin and the things of this world, amen, the devil will get a hold of you and you will not be able to worship God. You won't be able to praise God. Amen. You'll be just like David was. Amen. You'll be sitting there. You'll be a king. But friend, let me tell you something. There'll be no praise coming from your lips. No longer will you be able to sing the songs of Zion, and you'll sit there on that church pew, amen, and dry up and go to hell because of the sin that's in your life. Amen. You know something else? Something else that will cause you to become lockjawed? It's your circumstances. Amen. Sin will do it to you. The circumstances will cause you to become lockjawed. Amen. It'll cause you to get to a place. Let me tell you something. When trials come and we get in the heat of the battle, you know what the first thing that we decide to do? We get a little discouraged. We want to skip out of the house of God and say, I don't feel like going to the house of God. There's no use in going. I mean, I'm down in the dumps and I'm just going to sit there. Friend, the very thing that you need to do when you get into troubles and you get into trials is to make your way to the house of God and begin to offer up a sacrifice of praise. Amen. Your circumstances come, and sure, I've been in some pretty bad circumstances, and some things have come my way that I didn't understand, and when I came to the house of God, I didn't feel like praising God. I didn't feel like worshiping the Lord, but that's whenever you've got to make that special effort and not become lockjawed by the devil, and open up your mouth and open up your heart and begin to worship and praise the mighty Lord for all He's done. Hallelujah. Amen. Circumstances will cause you to become lockjawed. Amen. I know that there's things that come away, financial difficulties. Amen. There's things, health problems and deaths of loved ones and so many things that come our way that we don't quite understand and we don't know why they've come. And it's real easy to back off in the corner and say, God, why is all this happening to me? And that's usually our first reaction. But then let me tell you something. We kind of need to be like Job and say, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. And when you come in, say, Lord, I understand all this happening to me, but I'm still going to praise You because You're my Savior. You're my Redeemer. You're my soon coming King. You're my comfort in the time of trouble. Amen. Don't let circumstances get you lockjawed. Amen. Don't let it get you to a place where you can no longer praise the Lord. Amen. Let me tell you something. If there's anything that I've seen in my little bit of traveling across this country, is there's people that come to the house of God every service and sit there like a bump on the log and never offer up praise and never offer up worship to the Lord when they've got the whole world to be thankful for. Amen. Let me tell you something. In this time of Thanksgiving, amen, it's good to thank God for our family and our friends, but if there's anything that we really need to be grateful for, it's the fact that 2,000 years ago, Christ offered Himself up as a ransom for our sins. And tonight we sit here redeemed because of the blood of Jesus. And we have no excuse to be lockjawed tonight by the devil. I'll see you on Friday night of your homecoming. And I remember what Brother Hype said that night when he got up. He said, you don't have a right. You don't have a right to come in here. Amen. Whenever there's people worshiping the Lord with cancer and problems like that, we don't have a right to sit back and not worship the Lord whenever we've got health and strength in our body. Amen. We need to worship the Lord. Amen. Circumstances can come and cause us to become lockjawed. And this last one right here that I want to talk about is the one the Lord dealt with me so much today, Yvonne. When we become familiar with the house of God, many times we become lockjawed. We come in here, we know exactly what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to sing three songs, take up prayer requests,
have a couple of testimonies. Let the man of God get up and preach. And if he ain't done by 9 o'clock, we're ready to walk out on him. Amen. We get in this routine. We become familiar with the house of God. We know how it's supposed to operate. We know how things are supposed to happen. We know right when to raise our hands. We know right when to preach and whenever you're supposed to holler amen and help the preacher out. We become so familiar with this thing that it's lost its precious. It's not become as precious to us as it once was. Amen. Pentecost has become so common to us that no longer is it precious to us. Let me tell you something. If there's anything that I love, it's a Pentecostal meeting. If there's anything that I love to do, it's to come into the house of God and forget about who's around me and what everybody else is doing and just get lost in the presence of the Lord. And then let me ask you a question. When was the last time that you just let go and let God have His way until you didn't know where you was at, what time it was, or who was around you? When was the last time that you got in the presence of God and just began to worship the Lord until you didn't have control of your very own tongue and you just got lost in the presence of God? If there's anything that's caused us to become lockjaw, it's becoming familiar with this place, with the things that we do. And if then, let me tell you something, once again, we need for Pentecost to become precious to us. If there's anything we need for us to get a hold of God and begin to worship Him in the beauty of holiness like He is worthy of. Amen, we become familiar. Amen, I've been in this thing all my life. Amen, the first remembrances of a church that I have is Brother Clifton Gallagher running back and forth on the platform, shouting and worshiping the Lord and preaching God's holy word. Amen, the first recollections that I have of the church, the house of God, is seeing grandmas and grandpas shouting and running the aisles and seeing great moves of the Holy Ghost. Then let me tell you something. Amen, that is not outdated. That wasn't just for yesterday. And I know I'm preaching kind of like most young preachers do, but let me tell you something. We need for God to become precious to us again. We need for the blood of Jesus to become precious to us again. We need for His sacrifice to become precious again. We need for holiness to become precious again. Amen. These things we live by, these standards we uphold, we need for them to become precious to us again. So we worship like we should worship. You know what the distinctions of Pentecost were when it hit this land? It's worship. And it's distinction. It's separation. Amen. That was two characteristics of Pentecost. Let me ask you a question. Do we still have those characteristics? Amen. Is worship still spontaneous in the house of God? Amen. Whenever it starts over here and it hits a brother over here and then it moves to a grandma over here, then a young person over here, is it still spontaneous? Or has the highway of holiness your heart become lockjawed by the devil? No longer do you worship God. No longer do you praise Him. Friend, let me tell you something. If you become lockjawed by the devil, whether it's sin, whether it's circumstances, whether it is becoming familiar with the house of God, I say tonight in this service, on Saturday night, we shake off that lockjaw and let God flood our soul again. Amen. I say, Lord, when we come in here tonight, the Bible says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Amen. It didn't say to come in and talk about Thanksgiving Day and how much turkey did you eat? How many heavens did you have? I had too many. Amen. But then let me tell you something. We need to come in here with praise on our lips and worship in our heart. Say, Lord, I don't care how long we have to stay, but I want to move of the Holy Ghost. I want to move of the Holy Ghost. He inhabits the praises of His children. The very first time that I preached here at the Highway of Holiness, I preached on all that men would praise the Lord. All that men would praise the Lord. Amen. Let me tell you something. Tonight on Saturday night, November the 29th, amen, we need to come into this house and worship the Lord. He saved my soul. Oh, bless His name. I'll never forget the day He came. He makes me glad when I am sad. He's the dearest friend I ever had. Some of you wondering how I made choir. I don't know either. Once like a bird, prison I dwelt. Brother Collins, no freedom from my sorrow I felt. But Jesus came. It always makes a difference when Jesus passes by. But Jesus came and listened to me. And glory to God, He set me free. Whenever I think about words like that, it brings praise to my heart and worship to my soul. And that I was a sinner, but now I'm a saint. And that God has redeemed me. Let me read you a scripture that made an impact on me a few weeks ago. Let me encourage you. Hallelujah. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Verse number 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. You say, boy, brother Dennis, that sounds like a rough crowd. Amen. It sure is. It's a rough crowd. But I want you to notice the next verse. And such were some of you. Such were some of you. Brother Mark. Such were some of you. Look at the next phrase. But ye are washed. Glory be to God. But ye are washed. You know, when I read that, I just want to worship the Lord. I just want to magnify God. Oh, I've been washed, Brother Collins. Oh, hallelujah. Some folks say when you worship God, oh, you lost your mind. Why you do things like that? I ain't lost my mind. I just lost my sins at Calvary. Glory be to God. I just lost my sins at Calvary. There's no reason for us tonight at the Highway of Holiness to sit on these pews locked on by the devil. Amen. There ought to be praise uttering from our lips tonight. Amen. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Oh, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Amen. Have you become lockjawed tonight? Have you become lockjawed by the devil? Well, let me tell you something. When we come into this service tonight, let's come in with praise and worship. And who knows what would happen here at the Highway of Holiness tonight. Amen. If we'll come in worshiping the Lord, why don't we find us a place to pray tonight?